Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Greg Pickle here with me, back with us to look ahead to Iowa. We're going to look back a little bit on Penn State Purdue. We're coming to you as we always do from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're going to start things off with our stock report from Penn State Purdue. Penn State wins 35-7. They're 5-0 going into this key stretch of their schedule, beginning with the road trip to Iowa on Saturday night. We're going to look ahead to that matchup. We'll do Ask Greg your Penn State football questions, and then we'll do Greg's best bet. So the second half of this show, and probably all of the show, should be all about Gregory Pickle here.
It's that kind of week, Dustin.
We're just admitting that, and we're getting a little bit more influence from him on this broadcast. So let's start, Greg. You didn't get a chance to really share your thoughts on Penn State Purdue earlier this week. So let me just ask you just your general thoughts on the whole dynamic of Penn State starting fast, hitting this lull, and then closing out a 35-7 win. What did you make of things slowing down? And, you know, are you down on that, or are you concerned about that?
No. I thought, Dustin, that basically Penn State got to a point, and Sean Clifford even said this after the game, where they got all those, obviously, the scores on the first four drives, and then they just kind of went into hibernation, for lack of a better term. And teams are going to do that. You know, it is hard to get perfect effort for four quarters. Penn State actually got it for five, because I thought the four quarters, of course, at Maryland, and then the first quarter against Purdue was about as high level execution as you can get. You're just not going to get that for eight quarters, for 12 quarters, for whatever. So, you know, I thought that the thing, my big takeaway was, I know there were a lot of people upset that the lull happened, that they couldn't get anything going, that Ricky Ronnie called like 900 pass plays in a row, and I get all that. At the same time, how many Big Ten games is Penn State going to be in position to win if it scores 28 points in the first 17 minutes? I'd say almost every single one of them, except for maybe Ohio State, because they can score too. But you look ahead to the Iowa game, I mean, Nate Stanley stinks. We've talked about this before. As our buddy Bob Flounder said on the way out of Beaver Stadium Saturday night, he maybe has the worst numbers of a quarterback against Penn State in the history of all the quarterbacks that have played Penn State more than once, and I think it might be close to accurate. I mean, he has just been really bad against this Iowa team, and they just got beat up at Michigan, and they don't I can't envision why Penn State would be scared of playing this Iowa team. So other than being at Kinnick Stadium at night, Penn State back in the spring was an underdog in this game on the lines posted on FanDuel. They quickly flipped to a favorite on Saturday night and into Sunday morning. So, you know, I'm okay with that performance. Obviously, would you like it to be crisper? Sure. And are there some things to pick at? Absolutely. I mean, it was not a perfect effort from the offense, but if you're going to have one of those moments, you might as well do it while you're up 28-7. And by the way, Purdue had absolutely no chance to threaten that lead.
Yeah, I think the whole thing would have played out differently if Purdue posed any threat whatsoever earlier in this game, if they had given reason to be playing with urgency. But I think what you said is just perfect when you're dealing with, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Like, you know, to get 60 perfect minutes is an impossible task a lot of the time. And the fact that that happened on the road against Maryland the previous week shouldn't impact what you expect from a team like that. Like, I understand the disappointment. Everybody's trying to view something like this in the lens of what does it mean about Penn State and the rest of their schedule and, you know, their ability to play in these big games. I just don't think there's that much to it. How about from a stock perspective? I'll give you the first run at, you know, who's really up in your book coming off that game.
I think collectively the defense would be the obvious way to do that, but we have more time to fill, so let's be a little bit more specific. let's start with Brent Pry. I don't think he necessarily, I think he, what's the right way to put this? I think Penn State fans have such an expectation of what him and this defense are going to do that he's one of those guys who he isn't praised when things go really, really well, but he's quickly criticized when things go wrong. And this was a, from start to finish, just perfect game plan. And I don't think you can speak highly enough of this Penn State defense. I got home just in time to watch the end of Michigan State and Ohio State, and boy, are the Spartans gutless when it comes to trying to cover the spread, but that's for another segment. But, you know, Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit were talking about, you know, just what Penn State is in this Big Ten race, and, you know, both of them quickly jumped to talking about the defense and calling it one of the nation's best. And, you know, we sat here and talked about that probably being so before the season began, Dustin, and boy, Brent Pry has this group in a very good place heading into the biggest stretch of the season.
Well, he's an interesting combination of really like blue collar, but creative at the same time. And I think, you know, the tools that Brent Pry has on this Penn State defense are unlike any tools that he's had, you know, during his entire tenure as defensive coordinator. It's hard to think back to a time, you know, in Penn State history when they've had such a diverse number of weapons from a defensive standpoint. Talk about the speed, the physicality, the pass rush, the interior, the ends. You know, he's got all the different ingredients you could need to dial up anything he can dream of. I think he's got the personnel, you know, as especially as they're starting to mature, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And when you're when things are working to the extent that they were working early against Purdue, when you have Shaka Toney who's just is abusing, you know, his counterpart
from Purdue had no chance.
No shot. And when Shaka Toney is that guy, and now suddenly you're trying to account for him, you know, the rest of that defensive line just had a field day. 10 sacks, one shy of a school record. You know, for Shaka Toney, you know, I think it's a great performance by him. It showcased all the good things that he brings to the table. And now it's just a matter of, okay, we had a big blip on the radar last year, 4 sacks against Indiana, 3 sacks now against Purdue, some other times where he affected the quarterback. Can this carry over, and can we see this version of Shaka Toney more often? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's what I want to know too. I think that ultimately what it comes down to is, can he be the guy? Clearly he hates teams from Indiana. That's obvious because he blew up Indiana last year, and now he just blew up Purdue. But is it a flash in the pan again, or is it going to be something we see week in and week out? That's the big question. There's no doubt about it.
In terms of stock up, I think Noah Cain, obviously 130 total yards in this game, for his first 100-yard game, put this game on ice when the offense was struggling for so long. You bring him in the game, and he just dominated an entire drive, unlike anything we've seen any other running back on Penn State's roster be able to do, to the point now where I think James Franklin is going to take that into account now. This 4-man running back rotation, I think, is going to shift a bit. I didn't even get into your thoughts about where you think that's going
to
go.
Yeah, I mean, stock down to that whole situation. It's getting a little
old. You're going rogue on me, Greg.
Yeah, the whole thing's just getting a little old, you know. What more does Noah Cain have to do to separate himself? And why do 4 running backs need to play? I get you're worried about guys transferring. I get you're trying to keep guys fresh. But look, I don't think there's any doubt that Noah Cain and Journey Brown have been Penn State's top backs. And the argument can be made that Ricky Slade's been good in pass protection. I agree. He had a great block on the Jahan Dotson touchdown pass. But you know what? Noah Cain's been good in pass protection too. So I understand they're looking for maybe some more things in practice. But, you know, let's just get it on. Let's get on with it at this point. Make up your mind and play that guy the most. Stock up to that guy, Noah Cain, who just is every time he comes in, you know, it just – every time he comes in, the offense gets a boost. And the offensive line seems to block better. And the plays work a little bit better, you know. And to not have him
in – isn't it amazing how that can work?
Oh, it's hilarious sometimes.
Like, in theory, it shouldn't matter. If you're an offensive guard, if you're a tackle, it shouldn't matter who's behind you. You're going to block it – you should be blocking it the same way. But the reality is it doesn't really work that way.
Right. And then, you know, it just – it doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense why he doesn't see more run, because again, when they put him in, they just seem to be doing everything a little bit better. So I suspect we'll see more of him in Iowa.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking back, Penn State, Purdue. Stock up, stock down coming out of that game. A segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. The ultimate tailgating experience every Penn State home weekend. There's just no better way to take in a game. It is basically a 48-hour party. We call it the ultimate tailgating experience for a reason. They take care of a lot of things for you, including the ride to and from Beaver Stadium. You tailgate in their RV lot. You stay in one of their luxurious RVs. You can arrive on Friday. You can leave on Sunday. Big screen TV there in the lot, so you can catch up on all the other college football action as well. Just a really cool experience. I've had the opportunity to take that in a couple times, and just a great time. And I think just the carefree nature of it, not having to worry about a lot of stuff. There's food that they serve from 49 Tailgate Club there. There's some tailgate wine, some slushies. There's all kinds of good stuff happening at GoPSU RV. I recommend checking it out for a Penn State home weekend coming up. Anything on the stock down front for you besides the four-man running back? Actually, Lamont Wade, I thought, 11 tackles and a sack in this game. I thought he was everywhere. I think that's encouraging for the defense.
Stock down to the Big Ten, which selected its conference players of the week and somehow managed to ignore Penn State's defensive effort and not give any notice to Shaka Toney or Lamont Wade. I think either one would have been very deserving of that award. Stock down as well to the special teams. They've been at a very high level all season long, and they were not up to snuff against the Boilermakers. Jake Pinniger misses a kick. Jordan Stout sends one out of bounds. The penalty on Chisena gave Purdue field position. The muff hit Jonathan Sutherland in the leg and gave Purdue the ball. It was not a crisp effort. And again, I think it's okay because it just goes back to, you can't play at your peak for 12 or 13 games a year. It's not going to happen. You're going to have moments like this. And
not
again,
according to the message boards, Greg. According to the message boards, that's just not excusable.
I understand that. But, it ultimately, Penn State, if you're going to do it, you do it in a game like this where I thought, simply put, this is a game. It was very much like Eagles-Jets on Sunday. You want to win, and you don't want any bad health things to come out of it, and you just want to forget about it. You just want to act like it never happened, because ultimately, when Penn State's 2019 story is written at the end of the year about what this team was, there's not going to be anyone who remembers this Purdue game.
And let's just one final reminder that, these guys are padded up. They got helmets on. They are not robots. They are pretty young people in the grand scheme of life. And the coaches do a good job of getting them up. But there's human elements involved here. I don't know whether you can say they got a little bored, a little disinterested.
I think that's exactly what it was. I got bored watching it. I can only imagine playing it.
But how hard can you go at a second consecutive overmatched team in Purdue? And just to circle back, for the Big Ten not to recognize Shaka Toney is kind of a joke. For him, it's a tone-setting effort. He harassed Purdue early, and it continued all game long. He finished with three sacks. But I think just any hope that Purdue had went out the window, in part because of Shaka Toney. All right, we're going to move ahead. We're going to look ahead to Iowa. Penn State on the road to Kinnick Stadium. That's coming up right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.